I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 136, and then there were two.
Yeah.
This is
going to be fun.
We tried this once before, but at least we had a guest.
Did we?
We did.
Oh, it was Rich Hanley.
It was Rich Hanley.
Yeah, from Planet
of the Apes.
That's right.
And he's got a good deal going on.
Yeah, good for him.
He's going to, Rich Hanley, who was on Planet of the Apes, it's around 50.
Yeah.
I think we thought it was 50, but it was really 51 or something.
Right.
It was 51 and it was really 50.
We messed up the 50th episode.
Yeah. But he is has written several books about Planet of the Apes, and he's going to be editing and I think contributing to a series of short stories about that take place within the Planet of the Apes universe.
We're talking about the original universe, not the new universe.
You know, I honestly don't know.
It has to be the original one.
But they're kind of tying them together. Like, I think they're trying to make it look like it leads into, but I don't know. At some point, they'll probably spin it off, you know.
Yeah.
But it's an officially licensed, authorized in continuity thing that he's working on. Like he has the other books that he has written about Planet of the Apes are more like fan books about and that's dismissive. I don't mean it to sound like that.
They're like a hit, like an oral history of
Planet of the Apes. Things that have happened in Planet of the Apes, and you know, they've written other books about other franchises as well. Like they did one back to the Future. I think they got some Star Trek.
The documentary is fantastic.
Yeah,
by the way.
And he's in it, I think, isn't he?
The Back in Time.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Is he on that documentary?
He might. He's in one of those documentaries because I saw him talking about it. I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Okay.
But those have been more like unlicensed ventures in terms of they didn't have the official sanction of the property in question.
Right.
But now he's risen to the level that the people that own Planet of the Apes actually reached out to him and were like, "We deem you worthy."
I feel like
that's pretty cool.
He got that because of us.
I think it is.
Yep.
I mean, I know that he doesn't want to say it, but it's entirely
fine.
Because of
I
his
understand.
Appearance on this show.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. So
congratulations, Rich.
Yeah. So good on him.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I'm sure when we do the next Planet of the Apes movie, if we can get our stuff working to have callers back on the show, we will be sure and have him back on because he was a great asset to that show.
Yep.
So it's just two of us. Kevin's out. Dan is out of town on business because he's got the big important job. and Blake had to go sell beer or
drink
something.
Beer, I think.
Drink beer. Drink beer that sold.
For $1,500
or
something. I don't know.
So it's just me and Joe.
Yeah.
And then there were two.
We're going to get through it, buddy.
Tony Iommi's Black Sabbath. So we got going on right here. So... real quick, shameless plugs, because I need to talk just because I don't know how we're going to do this for an hour. So
we may not.
Don't forget we're available
Shortest
on iTunes.
Episode ever.
Yeah, don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there and rate and review us and subscribe, and it helps us a lot. We talked in the last episode about a listener who picked us solely based on our artwork.
Yeah.
And the number of ratings and reviews that we had, and that we had so many positive reviews. She said to herself, I should try this one, and now she loves the show. So that sort of stuff really does make a difference. So when we beg for that every week, it's not just to stroke our own ego. It actually helps us increase our listeners.
It helps us a lot, yeah.
So it goes a long way. And while you're there, if you want to join the League of Show Shares, I forgot to mention this in the last episode, but you can click the little share button, share it with your friends, and some people that were kind enough to share the show in the past week, T. Witt, Ryan Breidenbecker, Brent Smith, Disneyland Matt, who is in charge of supervising the backside of water.
Oh, wow.
That's what he does there.
That's hardcore. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Timmy Tuzoons, Chris Sansochi. I hope I'm saying his name
I think that's a new one.
Yeah.
Is that a new one?
I think so. I think he might share it once or twice before, but yeah. Chris Sanders, and then Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Librarian Cynthia.
Always on point.
Who, she wasn't mentioned last week because she shared it after we recorded the episode, so.
She realized the error of her ways.
Yeah, she's got to get a little quicker. Right. Step up your game, girl.
Yeah. A long, long-suffering listener.
Yes. Yeah. And then Lane Levanway from Levanway Industries was kind enough to share the show, so I appreciate that. That helps. That really does
it
help.
It really does,
lot,
yeah. Thank you so much.
So there. I guess we will dig into Love the Coopers.
Which I don't.
Yeah, and for some reason in England it's called Christmas with the Coopers.
Really?
I don't know why that's such an inconsequential change.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know why they would do that.
Maybe they were just like, maybe they'll think it was a sequel to Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah. Why would that be a selling point?
I have no idea.
Yeah. And then we're in for some trouble because the plot synopsis on Wikipedia, when four generations of the Cooper clan come together for their annual Christmas Eve celebration, a series of unexpected visitors and unlikely events turn the night upside down, leading them all toward a surprising rediscovery of family bonds and the spirit of the holiday. That's it. That's all we got.
But there weren't any there was two.
There is literally nothing unexpected that happens in this movie.
No, there's one thing where I was like, well, that's weird. I wonder where and we'll get into it. Where are they going to go with that? But all right. But yeah, like the unexpected visitors are,
I guess Jake Lacy's character.
Where do I know him from?
He was on The Office the last season.
Oh, that's
when
right.
They were
he was
try,
one of the interns.
He got hired in and
he was new Jim.
Right, when they were going to try and reboot the show, and they brought in like new Jim and new Clark.
And they were great.
Or new Dwight.
Both those, Clark, Duke.
Yeah.
Man, that was good.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah.
And then they decided like two episodes in that wasn't the direction they were going to go, and then they just kind of lingered, and they didn't know what to do with them.
That's right.
And he ends up...
hooking up with Aaron, trying to hook up with Aaron.
They do, I think, by the end of the show, yeah.
Well, no, because she gets with Ed Helms.
In the last episode, does she?
I think so.
I don't remember that.
I'm pretty sure he comes back and because he got fired and he ends up coming back.
I thought she gave him his walking papers.
I don't think so.
Because she was...
I don't know. That out of all the shows from that, like, Parks and Rec, the Parks and Rec and The Office hold up from season one. Season one of both of those shows are rough.
Right.
Because they don't know what they're doing. And then they find their footing in season two and it is off to the races.
Yeah.
And both those shows are fantastic. But I feel like she gets together with Andy.
Boy, I don't remember. I thought she didn't. Because they turned Andy into such a dick by the end of that show.
They did. They tried to turn him into Michael.
Yeah.
And Ed Helms was not
playing.
You
could tell that they were recycling Michael scripts. That they had already had scripts either written for him or story ideas fleshed out. And they were like, okay, we'll just go ahead and... You know, the other show that did that was My Name is Earl.
So I got through like season...
Not My Name is Earl. Saving Grace.
Which one's that?
That was the one from the same guys at the where the guy adopted the baby... that had the baby with the serial killer girl. It was like...
Oh.
Martha Plimpton and
Raising Hope.
Raising Hope. There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when that show first started,
is that where that baby came from?
Yeah.
She was a serial killer.
Yeah. He got seduced by a serial killer, and then
funny.
He ends up having to raise this baby.
Okay.
But like when that show first started, it was so blatantly obvious that like because in the last like couple episodes of My Name is Earl, like he ends up with a baby, and it was so obvious that they were taking to me anyway that they were taking Earl scripts that they had either written or were in the process of writing and repurposing them for this show.
I gotcha.
And then because it took that show a while to kind of find its own voice, you know.
That's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It lasted about five seasons.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That was, man, I'm just thinking of Parks and Rec. Just Andy Dwyer cracks. Just gets me right in the heart. Every time. Love that guy so much.
So anyway, love the Coopers.
Yeah.
Get to synopsis.
Can we talk about The Office?
No, we cannot.
Talk.
We're not allowed to by law.
Right. So I feel like, so if you have seen, I was actually talking about this last night. What was the movie with Steve Carell and Emma Stone and Kevin Bacon and Ryan Gosling, where
Love
like,
Crazy? Or Crazy Love?
Crazy Stupid Love?
Crazy Stupid Love.
Okay, so if you've seen that or you've seen any of these, Valentine's Day or New Year's Eve or these big, not big, but like big casted.
Right.
Okay, go watch those.
Yeah, they're infinitely better.
Infinitely better. Yeah. As bad as Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve are, Crazy Stupid Love is a fantastic movie.
Crazy Stupid Love was
great.
I really like
that movie a lot. So this movie opens up with a voiceover, which I'll tell you what, it's 2015. No, it never bodes well.
No.
In the last, we actually did one where there was a voiceover. What was the, it was the Blake Lively one where she wouldn't age.
Right.
That was another one where it was like.
Age of Adeline.
Yeah, where it was like, oh, we did that right before Age of Old, like before the Avengers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I remember the name of it.
So we've got a voiceover kind of telling us the story of this couple who we're introduced to, and it turns out it's a younger couple, and then we flash forward, and it's John Goodman and Diane Keaton, who, like, I kind of miss those guys. Honestly,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
miss John Goodman.
Here's the problem, is this is a good cast.
It's a great cast.
But it's just they're given such crap to spew out. It's they're like a collection of inspirational memes that just walk
Hang
around.
In there.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's very true. So
you love at arm's length. Someone actually says that in the movie. You love at arm's length.
Is it New Jim? Does New Jim say that?
I don't know. All I know is it was cringe.
Or is it Aunt May and the Falcon?
I think it might have been John Goodman said it to Diane Keaton because he was saying how she was not the same woman he fell in love
with. That's right.
Anyway.
I'm just going to start doing that. I'm going to start naming them from other movies.
Yeah, you might as well because I don't know. All I know is their last name is Cooper, but that's only because it's in the title of the film. If it was actually, if it was called something
else,
I wouldn't know.
Names. Right, right.
Yeah.
So John Goodman and Diane
Keaton,
because I keep wanting to say Lane.
He wouldn't say Lane.
They're going to pick up their granddaughter.
Right.
So now we're introduced to Ed Helms.
Right.
Who I feel bad for Ed Helms because he's never not Andy from The Office. Like, as much as I love that character, he's kind of always Andy. In The Hangover, he's just Andy turned up to 11.
Right.
But it's all the same stuff. So, you know, they're picking up their granddaughter, and there's obviously a little tension between the two sons. Like, there's three kids total, the older son who's in high school, the younger son, and then there's a little girl. So they, there's one funny line that I found funny throughout the movie because my kid does this. he kind of says, he's like, look, she's doing this thing. Please don't laugh at it. We're thinking if we can stop laughing at it, she'll stop doing it. And they're like, well, what is it? He's like, just hold on a second. So
he's like, I can't tell you because then it won't be funny when it happens in the
correct,
movie.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in real life, you would
I would just be like, hey, look, she's saying
I
this.
Have to reveal this piece of information so the joke has maximum impact when it occurs. Yeah.
So the little girl walks down and he's like, oh, you're going to go hang out with, you know, grandma and grandpa for the day. And she kind of just turns around and goes, you're a pecan.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like John Goodman, like any other person, like kind of loses it. And he's like, don't laugh at it. So, oh, man. And then I'll tell you, this movie was not like any trope you've seen in any holiday movie ever is in this movie. And it's just like trope to get us to the next one, to get us to the next one. It's like, it's awful.
So Ed Helms' character is out of work, but he's concealing that from his family.
He was he worked at like JCPenney.
Sears, actually.
Oh, was it Sears?
It was
okay.
Sears. Because I remember thinking, because he was the photographer at Sears who would take the family photos, and he loved his job, but he's been replaced by a machine.
Correct.
And first off, you haven't been replaced by a machine. You've been replaced by cell phones.
Right.
Like, nobody does
this anymore.
And but the other thing I found surprising is they actually show him in a Sears. And I was just like, Sears signed off on this? Because Sears comes off looking really
shitty. Yeah, like, but, I mean, do they come off shitty? Or is it just kind of
because, I mean, the whole thing is that he loved his job and they've just replaced him with basically a kiosk that takes the picture for you.
Yeah.
Which, one, isn't true.
Nope.
And two, like, makes them look really bad.
I guess that's true.
So it's like, I couldn't believe that they actually, like, had a Sears logo, and, like, I thought for sure that it was going to be, like, a fake store, you know?
They were trying to make up for the damage they did in Man of Steel. Just constantly blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll just kick this guy out of his job, too. I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
But, yeah, I thought that was really odd that they...
I guess I didn't... I was so, like, at this point, we're about 10 minutes in the movie, and I was like, don't care. So
yeah.
I didn't even realize that they had shown that it was in the Sears. So... He's also, he has a job interview, and he goes on this interview, and he starts off really well. Like, he starts off super cool, and he's, you know, and then he just goes into this tirade about how a machine took my job and blah, 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 and just goes off. And it's like, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're never going to get this. And, like, it's a dude from Staples, like a kid that's, like, 18.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're a little too intense to work at Staples.
And then the other thing is, and if there's anyone who listens to the show that is a photographer, a Sears or JCPenney, I apologize, but is it that good paying of a job? Like, is it that?
I think probably if you own your own studio, yes. But if you work for...
Yeah, I just feel like if he's a store employee taking photographs and he's got to be in his 40s, like, that doesn't seem like a job that pays all that great.
For a pretty sweet house.
Yeah.
Like, he had a, like, you can only see it from the outside, but it's still a pretty nice house.
Right.
And with three kids.
And the other thing is, this is clearly an upper middle class family. They have money. This movie is like an LL Bean catalog came to life.
It's like IKEA threw up in the house.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it, you know, and it's like it's, and what a white movie. This movie's pretty
it's
white.
It's so white that even the black guy is white.
Yeah, like, if this movie was any whiter, it would be a hate crime. it's ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous.
Like, but it's just like your standard like upper middle class kind of like wet dream of what Christmas and holidays are supposed to look
like.
Except they, of course, they all have these problems, but they only have these problems so they all can be resolved in time for Christmas
in a good 2 hours
so we can experience the magic of the season.
Yeah.
You
so
know?
We've got their story. We get Ed Helms' story. Then we're introduced to Olivia Wilde. Thank you very much. she's getting off a plane and she has this, she's a fan. So am I supposed to think that she's a fan of PDA or she's not a
she's
fan?
She's not a fan.
But she enjoys the initial emotion of it?
No, okay. Yeah, I think she doesn't like it, but that she enjoys, like, she gives this weird, like, again, like some sort of weird inspirational message speech. The whole screenplay is very overwritten.
It is.
Like, everybody's thought process is too delineated.
Important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she goes on about how she enjoys that moment when people have unguarded emotion.
Correct.
Like, so I think just people making out, she's not into.
Okay.
But like when people have that moment of like when you see someone as they're coming off a plane and you hug them and you're so excited to see them or whatever.
There's no emotion. Everything is out there.
Yeah. She has this like speech about how much she enjoys that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then we're introduced to New Jim.
Yes.
Who is...
I like this guy. It's funny, J.C. Corcoran was saying how bad he was
in
this.
Oh, no, I thought he was great.
I like him.
I actually liked them.
Yeah, like, the movie should have been them.
Yeah.
If they made a movie about those two...
I think it would have been great.
I think it would have been much better.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Olivia Wilde, I think... Olivia, you don't see her often, I don't think. I mean, you saw her on House, you saw her... I can't even think of anything where she's like the main focus... But I find not only is she extremely attractive, but I also find her very magnetic. I want to know more about her. That character. So she is kind of she's the liberal. She's the free spirit. When she kind of meets the new Jim, and he's a military guy, and she kind of makes a joke about being a Republican, and she's like, and he kind of makes a and he does like he does a lot of stuff. Without words,
right?
But you're like, and she's, you know, just the look on his face, and she's like, oh,
yeah,
like you're one of them. So they have this constant back and forth, and sometimes it's playful, and sometimes it steps over the line.
It gets
and becomes
a little mean,
a little less playful, and a little real. But like throughout the movie, you are like you are with these two characters, and I was like, yeah, give me them just giving each other crap,
yeah,
you know.
And it's nice because it's so rare to see a likable Republican in a movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you don't get that very often.
I think they kind of say, like, she even says, she's like, you're not heavy-handed with it. Like,
right.
You have your thing, I have my thing. So they do kind of reference the fact that he's just kind of like, yeah, this is who I am. Like, it's what it is. So they're in an airport, and she's kind of killing time before she has to go hang out with her folks. He's there because his flight has been delayed. And I think, where are they? Are they in... Colorado?
They're in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
According to the police car.
The police car. That's what it was. Yeah. That's the only time we're ever given any idea. I was upset, though. Like, I thought I'd get a zombie attack, but I didn't. So
we were hoping.
I was hoping. Yeah.
I was hoping for anything that would cause all these people to be killed.
Right. And then we jump to Alan Arkin, who is another actor where I was like, I love this dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good in anything. One of my favorite, it's weird, one of my favorite roles of his is in America's Sweethearts. Where he's like a Buddhist therapist, and he's just so funny.
I have not seen that.
It's not bad. It's a run of the mill romantic comedy. John Cusack, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Julia Roberts.
Okay. It came out right after 9/11, didn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. It's fine. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, it just dawned on me, is so Steve Martin is doing the narration for the film.
Didn't realize that till the credits.
You didn't realize that was Steve Martin?
I didn't.
Wow, his voice is so instantly recognizable.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, why did I not know that? Of course that was Steve Martin. Yeah, it didn't even click.
Because it was also disappointing because you never see Steve Martin. And it was like, oh, it's Steve Martin, but you don't get to see him. That sucks because I like Steve Martin, even though he has a pretty track record as of late. But the thing I thought was...
He's due.
Yeah, the thing I thought was interesting that just now dawned on me is Alan Arkin is in this movie... And Steve Martin is in this movie.
Yeah.
Which means, what do they have in common?
I don't know.
They are two of the three people to have played Inspector Clouseau.
When was Alan Arkin?
He was Inspector Clouseau in a film called Inspector Clouseau. After Pink Panther and then Shot in the Dark, and like around 1969, they made a new one. It was just called Inspector Clouseau, and he played Inspector Clouseau. And it's almost completely forgotten to time, but...
Was it good?
I've never seen it. I'm assuming it's not. And even if it was good, is it going to be as good as Peter Sellers is Inspector Clouseau?
No.
Of course it's not.
Right.
So both of those guys played Inspector Clouseau.
That's very interesting.
This guy just was like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's odd. And it just, kind of clicked for me. But, so he's in a diner.
He's in a diner and he meets up with, he's a retired English professor.
Right.
And he has this. I wasn't sure how to understand this relationship. So there, Amanda
Seyfried. Yeah, it was really weird. I couldn't tell where they were going with it.
It is weird throughout the entire movie.
Yes, it never gets not weird.
Yeah. So Amanda Seyfried kind of plays this the waitress that kind of...
She wants more in life, but just doesn't know how to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's fine. Also, like, her character is so one-dimensional. It's like, I can't be mad at you for nothing. Like, you brought nothing to this movie other than, like... What are you trying to do with that old man?
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
I think it's more vice versa.
Yeah, right.
But so there, he's a film buff, and so he always brings in movies for her,
right.
Which is something that never gets mentioned again for the rest of the film.
They talk about it one time.
Yeah, and so she was returning a DVD of Chaplin's City Lights.
Yeah.
And but it's clear that, like, he comes in, he even says he doesn't like the food. He comes in only to talk to her.
Right, only to hang out with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we see where. Oh, so then we're Marissa Tomei is in a mall,
right?
And I assume she's on the phone. But as we go through this movie, I was like, maybe she wasn't on the phone.
Yeah, maybe she's just crazy. I don't think this screenplay's smart enough to play a trick right, like that.
Yeah.
But
so she's kind of talking about how her sister is, you know, she's the perfect one, and she never knows what to get her because the sister's gift is always better. So she's like, I'm just going to buy her the most gaudy and, like, just gross looking present I could find just so she has to, like, bullshit her way through it. So she picks up this brooch, flips it over, looks at the price, and then puts it in her mouth, like pretends to cough and, like, puts the brooch
and swallows
it. Right.
Yeah.
So as she's walking out, like, loss prevention stops her. And then now we're introduced to Anthony Mackie, who I thought was a mall cop. At first.
Yeah.
And then he put her in a police car. I was like, man, in Pittsburgh, they're legit.
Boy, they don't mess around with
it. No.
And it had like, a price tag on it. It was
$68.
It was, yeah, I was going to say, it was under $100. Like,
I'll tell you what.
That's not even a felony.
No, it's a misdemeanor. It's totally a misdemeanor. In St. Louis, they've been like, go away.
Yeah.
Don't come back. We have other stuff to deal with.
I mean, some stores do have a we prosecute all
that's
shoplifters
true.
Policy.
Yeah.
But.
Not for $68.
Yeah. So then. So then they end up in, he puts her in the back of the car.
They tragically find a traffic jam so they can have their little interaction.
Was that what that was? It was a traffic jam?
I was just sitting there on the radio, they would be like, Grand to whatever is backed up nonstop, and like there's traffic jams everywhere in the city. So it gave them enough time, like it gave them a reason to be in the car this long.
Yeah, because they were in the car for like 2 hours. Yeah,
right.
Like it was ridiculous how long they were supposed to be in the car.
Yeah.
It was also odd because nobody else had any problems getting around the city for the rest of the movie.
Well, I felt like, so the good, John Goodman and Diane Keaton kind of live in the quote unquote county.
Right.
Like that's the way I interpreted that. So Olivia Wilde and, so we're flashing back between all of these different stories, not knowing.
It's like Love Boat.
It is kind of like Love Boat, but it's kind of like Crazy Stupid Love, because
they all interconnect.
But you don't know they interconnect. Like,
did you ever have any?
No, of course I didn't. No, that's dumb. Of course I knew they were going to. But I mean, like, they try to make it look like these are all random people.
Right.
And like, with 45 minutes left in this movie, they converge on each other. So Olivia Wilde and New Jim are kind of going back and forth, and it's kind of obvious that they're kind of attracted to each other, but you know, they're not, they can't do anything because he's getting shipped out. He's bailing. She's got to go see his folks. So they come up with this plan where he is going to be fake boyfriend. And I was like, yeah,
sure.
Why not?
That's something people do.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'd pick up a military man in the airport, be like, hey, be my boyfriend for a day. I don't. Personally.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Because it sounded like you were saying that you did, that you pick up military men in the airport.
Is that the way it sounded?
Yeah.
Can we just go back and...
No, we cannot.
All right. So, and he agrees. And in my head, I was like, I mean, if Olivia Wilde told me to be your fake boyfriend, I'm going to be your fake boyfriend.
Right, yeah, you're going to say yes. Right, yeah.
I'll do whatever you want. That's fine. So they, you know, and again, we see them have these really cute moments, and then they're at the, I think they're sitting at like a, I don't know, like a table. I wonder how much McDonald's paid for that.
Yeah, for him to hold that coffee cup McCafe. For 45 minutes. Right. Yeah.
And then they kind of have like he says something or she says something kind of snarky about being a Republican or believing in God. And he kind of snaps back at her. And to his credit, like he wasn't mousy about it.
Yeah.
And he gets up, but he does get up and leave probably four times.
Yeah.
And then comes back. He never actually follows through.
She is Olivia Wilde. She does chase him down at one point, doesn't she? Like, she actually goes and finds him at one point, I thought.
Oh, that she. So she goes to apologize to him. So like they have this kind of a meltdown, and he's like, all right, man, good luck. And like goes to sit by, and she kind of has this moment where she's like, oh, I'm kind of a... So she goes back. Like, and it's also kind of a funny scene where she sees him, and then she walks towards him, and then she's like, no, I'm not like... And backs away, and then walks back, and then backs away, and walks away, and backs away, and finally sits down. So also, we're getting a story with John Goodman and Diane Keaton where their marriage has kind of fallen
apart.
Yes,
they've been together for 40 years.
Which they tell you a lot.
A lot. they've been together for 40 years, and... that he's stewing because they were supposed to go on a trip to Africa went 30 years ago. And she keeps postponing it. And he was like, now the kids are out of the house. And clearly the kids have been out of the house for about a decade.
Yep. That's correct.
And he's upset that she won't go. And so he's like, then I'm leaving you. And she wants them to have one last happy Christmas before they tell the family.
Because that's healthy.
Yeah. You know what? It's very common, though.
Is it really?
Yeah. The most... popular, for lack of a better phrase, time of year for people to file a divorce is January, because they don't want to spring it on people at Christmas, and so they make it through the holidays and then they file for divorce.
Huh? I'll be damned.
Yeah, I filed for divorce on like December 10th
because you didn't care
because I couldn't do it anymore.
I was right. You've had enough.
I tried.
Hey.
I was trying to make it through the first
trying
year. I really was, but it was just like...
You gave it a go.
Yeah, and he was like, this is getting out of hand.
I'm not going to make those jokes. You can make those jokes.
Yeah. but I'm like, yeah, this guy, there are safety issues at play here. I have to, like, sorry.
I literally had to sleep with a knife on my chest.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, actually. I did.
That's sticking up. Just because I don't want to take any chances.
Yeah, I did that a time or two. Yeah, that's a true statement.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take it like to real life right then. That was an accident.
But
I was making an asshole joke.
She was. still is.
Yeah.
I also think it's a little ridiculous at their age. Like, you know, that it's like, if you are getting along well enough to have that conversation, then you can get along well enough to just be like, hey, we're getting divorced, but we're still having Christmas together.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can still do that.
Unless you're my folks.
Yeah.
Just leave that alone. Bring it to the real world. So then we're, like I said, this movie jumps around from person to person. So we jump kind of back to Alan Arkin and he goes back to the diner and Amanda Seyfried is there. And as he's ordering, like another couple that frequents the diner that she works at says, oh, we're going to miss you. See you later. And he's like, what the hell are they talking about? And she's like, it's my last day. And I was like, you are kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Like this old man is giving you movies and he's obviously crushing on you hard.
Yeah.
And you don't tell him at all
that you're leaving.
You are leaving. So he kind of goes off on her and kind of calls her a coward and, you know, all this other stuff. And you think that they have gone their separate ways.
No, I did not think that for one
Neither
second.
Neither did I.
No, okay.
No.
Yeah. It wants us to think that.
We've been doing this a
but
while.
But I think anyone who's ever seen a movie knows that they're
Let
not.
Let alone many movies.
Yeah.
to constitute a podcast.
Yeah.
So then now this is the first time that we see some of these characters interact. So we see Ed Helms and Alan Arkin. Interact.
Right. Because Alan Arkin is Ed Helms' grandfather.
Grandfather.
So I guess he's John Goodman's father or he's
I thought
Diane
he was,
Keaton's
he's Diane
father.
Keaton's father.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan Arkin and Ed Helms are kind of are buying poinsettias. And this is the first time we kind of see that they are family.
Yeah.
And they kind of interact and he kind of tells, you know, they're talking like a grandfather and a grandson probably would, a close family.
Yeah.
And he kind of, so Alex Bornstein, who does the voice of, voices on Family Guy, you know her from like Mad TV, you know her if you saw her, she is Ed Helms' ex-wife at this point, I think.
I think they're in the process of getting divorced.
Okay.
Because it's weird, because then she comes around for the family
that
dinner.
That was super weird.
And I'm like, why would that be a thing?
Why would you bring her?
Yeah.
That's strange. So Alan Arkin is kind of dogging her. Where he's like, you know, she talks with her mouth full and like just spits food everywhere. Like, who does that? That's gross. So, and Ed Helms kind of lays out. He's like, look, I'm just, you know, they say that she's this high school sweetheart. And he's like,
yeah.
Family myth.
Yeah.
We were lab partners and we cut up rats together. And then, like, we got to a party. My Sharona was on. I got to my, and I was a father. And I was like, that's pretty, I like that. Like,
yeah.
I did, and it's his delivery as well. Like, it's, if you like Ed Helms, that the delivery of that line works. And, you know, I don't remember. They make like a YOLO or something where he's like you looking back. Like she was always afraid that she would miss out on something.
Right.
And they had some stupid name for it, which shocking will come into play later. and then we kind of again, bumping around, we see. Anthony Mackie, who you should know at this point, the guy is going to be probably a pretty big star. He's Falcon from Captain America. He'll be in the new Seth Rogen comedy coming out next week, I think. Marissa Tomei is in the back of this police car, and she is trying as hard as she can to get out of being taken to jail. So she straight up lies to Anthony Mackie. She's like, I'm a house mother. I have three boys. I have this. Blah, blah, blah. And finally she says, like, I'm a therapist. And the guy, like, I've never seen this before. It could be in police cars now, but I have never seen this. Is the automatic sliding window?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
It's a cop car, not a taxi.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, I guarantee you they just found a taxi. I was like, yeah, it'll work.
Paint it.
Yeah, it's fine. So they kind of have a back and forth, and they're talking, and she's like, are you always this much of a robot? And he's like, I'm not a robot. I was like, no, you pretty much are a robot. This, like, I feel bad because that dude is good.
Yeah,
like, that dude's a good actor, and he is given nothing.
No,
zilch. So like, and then he kind of says that he's gay out of nowhere.
Yeah,
like she's like, does your mom know? Like they kind of go through this role playing thing,
right?
Where she plays him as a boy and he's his mother, and then she's like, are you gay? Like, do they know that you're gay? And he's like, I'm not gay. Except in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a dumb line.
I know. That's awful.
That is awful. So then they, like, again, this movie, it bounces around so much that, and I was barely paying attention as is.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's weird is because, so you find out Marissa Tomei and Diane Keaton are sisters, and they're 20 years apart in real life.
Are they?
Yeah. Marissa Tomei's 50. Okay. Diane Keaton's like 70.
And they want you to believe that they are what?
Are like four or five years apart. Because you see them as little kids.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. And, that's true. I didn't even think about
that.
And
I'm just like, no. I don't believe that Marissa Tomei and Diane Keaton are...
Sisters.
Are sisters. Not five-year apart sisters.
No,
because you see Marissa Tomei like looking up to her and being like, I can never be as good as her.
Right, right.
She's this perfect figure skater, and so this has been
the
theme throughout their life.
She's got the perfect family.
Yeah. And so, you know, where Marissa Tomei is still single and childless and,
which
you know...
Which I call
Yeah. Yeah. But
I did say, I was like, the day I had a crush on Aunt May, it's a weird day for me. I don't know what happened.
They're like, I'll be Uncle Ben.
I mean,
I'll bring the rice.
Wait a minute. Uncle Ben dies. So I don't think I want to be Uncle Ben.
But you still get to have sex with Marissa Tomei.
And that's the trade-off?
Yeah.
Done.
How, I mean, he makes it to what, mid-50s?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
Of course, I'm 45, so I'm like...
I got time.
Yeah.
You're like 20 years. Yeah, it's fine. Me, not you.
Yeah, no, I don't have 20
years. Yeah, so of course, so I guess we should say it is a convergence of people. So
yeah.
Olivia Wilde is John Goodman and Diane Keaton's daughter.
Right.
Ed Helms is their son. Alan Arkin is Diane Keaton's father. Marissa Tomei is Diane Keaton's sister. And they all like converge on the house.
Right. For the holidays.
For the holidays. And New Jim, in my opinion, like steals the show.
I think so. I thought I've seen him in other movies. He was in a small art house movie called Obvious Girl.
Okay.
And he's really good in that.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good at just playing like the good guy, you know, but not so good that he's boring.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
I could see, you know, 10 years earlier, this is John Krasinski.
Totally.
Like, I could totally, and I'm not just saying that because they're both on The Office, but I could absolutely see him being that
and
character.
And 15 or 20 years before that, it's Tom Hanks.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. It's kind of a small part for Tom Hanks.
Well, when he's starting out.
All right,
what
yeah,
I was,
okay.
You know.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. I can see that. You know, John Krasinski was almost Captain America.
Really?
Yeah. It was him, Jensen Ackles from Supernatural.
Yeah.
And Chris Evans.
Hmm.
Those were the three guys that they had it whittled down to.
Interesting.
Yes.
And I had the name of that movie wrong. It's Obvious Child, not Obvious Girl.
Oh, okay.
But it's a little romantic comedy, and it stars Jenny Slate. She was on SNL. She's the voice of Marcel Lachelle with no shoes on.
Nope.
You ever seen those?
Nope.
Oh, they're adorable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Mine watches Peppa Pig. So
it's just a little YouTube short.
Oh, okay.
But it's like 4 or 5 minutes long.
Okay.
But it's absolutely adorable. They've made 2 or 3 of them, but it's totally worth Googling.
As long as I'm not watching something like Hobby Mom.
No.
Which is great.
No,
not
it's
great.
Yeah, Marcel, I think that's what, I can't remember if it's Marcel the Shell with no shoes, with Marcel the Shell with shoes on.
Sorry. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So they all kind of converge on the house, and New Jim kind of says, like, she's like, oh, this is Joe. Oh, That's a shame that I couldn't remember that guy's name.
Tells you how bad the movie is when you can't remember a character's name, and it's your
name.
It's your own name.
You know, and I think his last name was Bailey. And I'm like, come on. Like, don't give me the George Bailey.
I know. I thought that, too. Yeah. Like, it's like, that's,
don't do that.
Yeah.
It's
a little too on the nose.
Exactly. So, and she's like, this is my boyfriend. And she's going on and on. And they're like, oh, that's great. And he's like, and we're engaged.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we're engaged. And then, like, again, they have another little meltdown where she's like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you're so much better at this than
I am. I'm trying to remember, do they have a reason for why she didn't have a ring?
No.
Because it's like, whenever you tell somebody you're engaged, the first thing they say to the woman is, let me see the ring.
Right. There was no mention of a ring.
It's just like,
zero. And yeah. I was like, maybe because he's, I don't know. I don't know how I'm not in the military, so I don't know how that works. Like,
I think they still subscribe to the same cultures that we do.
You think so? Do you think they can wear?
Well, she can.
Oh, that's true.
He has to see the girl's ring, not the guy's ring.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't get engaged.
I've been asked. It was funny. I got married when I got married.
Yeah.
The most recent time.
The last time. So this is like the 14th time.
Right, yeah. No, this is my second.
Okay.
Yeah. I get a pass on my first one.
You do.
That wasn't my fault. That wasn't my fault.
No.
Yeah. It was funny as we were going through. I was like, nobody ever asked to see my ring.
No,
like, they're always even at the day of the wedding. Everybody's up there. Let's see the ring. Nobody ever asked to see my. I got asked to see the ring one time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who was it?
A gay guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
I thought that was interesting. I was just like, I was like, so, I was trying in my head. I was trying to suss it out. Like, does he want to know? Like, is he more like, well, fair is fair, I should ask to see both? Or is it like, because he's used to couples being the same gender, you would ask to see both?
He would, but he'd also, like, that's the, it's the idea of your ring style would be something that he would be interested in.
Right, yeah. Like, I, you know, so if we have any gay listeners, Email us. I would love to know the answer to that. Like, is that a normal thing for like, you know, or is it just this guy just happened to be weird? I don't know.
My buddy was just like, yeah, I put your ring in a pocket and I don't remember which one it's in. I'm like, I'm going to kill you. Like, he was like, no, I totally.
How many pockets does he have?
Well, he was wearing, the tux. So he had like two in the front, two in the back, and then he had like a bunch in the coat, and he was like, I have no idea where it is. I'm like, I'm going to punch you in the face. He's like, I'm just kidding. You're a dick. So now we're all at the house, and Joe decides to leave again.
Yeah.
And like, she's going to come, you know, this is what I think. So we're told that she is having she is a mistress in an affair.
Right.
Like, she is the other girl. And he's just kind of like, this is weird. I don't want to do this. I've made a mistake, and kind of bolts. So Olivia Wilde is kind of going to tell, she's sitting there, and it's another good scene for her where like Diane Keaton and John Goodman are going back and forth. Like, they're talking to her because now Joe's gone, and she's really funny because like, she's acting like a teenager because like, she doesn't want to get the disapproving look from her mother. And she doesn't want, like, her dad's like, what's going on? And she's like curled up in a ball and she's playing with her hair. It was actually, I enjoyed that scene a lot, as much as I could enjoy anything from this movie, where I was like, oh, this isn't awful. Like, okay.
But you enjoyed it because it was
also true.
Olivia Wilde. Yeah. Let's be fair.
It's also fair. So then she's like, all right, Joe left because, and then he comes walking back through the door. He's a smoker. And he was like, yep, that's me. This is dumb. I guess we should talk about the sons. So you've also got the two.
We had his other subplot with Ed Helms' son.
And like, I feel like the subplot with the older son was something that I would have seen in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like the way he's dressed and the way he's acting. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it. Like, it's whatever. So he's
and then they did this special effects thing a couple times.
That was weird.
Where like something happened and like, and he was shattered, and then he would literally shatter. And
yeah.
I'm like,
oh, it was Olivia Wilde.
And they did it to the boy too.
Did they?
Yeah, like he like melts or something.
I thought it was
did it twice.
Okay.
It is Olivia Wilde, and they did it to the boy because he's got a crush on some girl at the mall.
But he gets the girl. I mean, like,
yeah, but there was a point where he thought he wasn't, and then something happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was just, like, those were weird. Like, I was like, are we trying to, like, it felt like they were trying to do, like, an animated thing. Like, you know, in like, Frosty the Snowman, where, like, he melts, and then he pops back up, and, things like that?
Yeah,
I don't know if it was trying to do, like, an, I don't know what
they
were trying to do.
The narration was just too cute by half.
Correct.
Like, it was trying to be very cutesy and,
yeah,
like, profound, but in
she
a down to earth
so
way.
So she was just crushed and she shattered.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So the one son kind of has a crush on this girl that works at the mall, and the younger son is just kind of like, he just wants to do something nice for his brother.
Yeah.
And he's looking for like a gift that's not too expensive.
How old would you say that kid is?
The
younger one?
We're
thinking like 8?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, eight years old. Okay.
Yeah.
And we have an extended scene of him wandering the mall
by himself
during Christmas shopping for his brother.
Okay. You know what year that happens in?
Yeah.
1990.
Yeah.
Not 2015.
I don't even know if that happened in 1990.
I don't know. My parents were more like, we hope he gets lost.
Yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't blame them.
I wouldn't either in retrospect. So the boy kind of, he finally gets to make out with the girl. Like, the girl is like, yeah, I'll totally make out with you.
Yeah.
And it is so, like, and that was funny because it was so painfully awkward that they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
And then a bully comes over and starts to pick a fight. And the little brother's like, stop picking on him. And he's like, and this is the story he will tell for the rest of his life. And like, he pulls his pants down and he Superman punches him across the mall.
Yeah.
And then he was like, here's what really happened. And
yeah,
he was like, really? And the kid runs away.
Oh, this is such a lazy joke.
That was bad.
I hate that.
I was not a fan of that at all.
Yeah.
So that's over. We don't see those kids again until they show back up at the house.
Yeah.
So now everybody's at the house and it's just a complete mess. John Goodman is constantly trying to rekindle his relationship with Diane Keaton constantly.
Yeah.
And then when does that happen? Oh, so Olivia Wilde and New Jim are on the train, and she randomly references that she had a sister. And I was like,
yeah, like there's just like there's you find out like 2/3 of the way through the movie that there's another sister who died. And then they kind of never go back to that.
You see her as a baby.
Yeah.
Like there's that because like throughout the movie, you are getting flashes of people who are no longer with us. So like Alan Arkin sees a flash of his wife.
Right.
And then you see this little baby come walking in. I was like, why even bring that up? Like, yeah. I don't even make like you're the character's not there. You've got enough characters as is. Why even reference?
And it adds nothing.
No, because you already like those characters.
I mean, I think they were trying to imply that, like, that's when their marriage started to struggle, because losing a child is very rough on a marriage. But I just don't think that their marriage is, like, I don't know.
I agree. Like,
it's not struggling enough for it to be from that.
From the one thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Because ultimately, their marriage isn't struggling at all.
No.
Like, you see nothing. Like, they don't really argue. There's one scene where they argue, but they're not. It's like a. Like, there's not. It's not like an end of relationship argument.
No, the only argument. Well, you see them kind of bicker, but yeah. I feel like you've been married for 40 years.
Yeah.
You're allowed to bicker.
Totally.
Yeah, I've been married for not 40 years, and I bicker all the time. But the big fight is like them in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, I wanted to do this for us and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, you can't let go of the kids. They're not kids anymore. You have to let them be on their own. And she's like, what if something happens? And then the dog eats the potatoes.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of the fight.
Because the dogs always destroy the dinner in the movie.
He's constantly eating. Actually, he said that he's stress eating. And now that I think of Steve Martin saying that, it makes it a little bit funnier.
Yeah.
So they're all at the kitchen table, or they're all at the table, and Marissa Tomei ends up. Oh, he lets her go.
He feels bad for her, and like he decides to let her go. Which, how is that even legal?
I mean,
like, if the store said we want to press charges and they relinquish her to a police officer, he doesn't get to change their mind for them.
No, he does not. She does not get to go.
Like, it's like the people who wrote this movie have no concept of how the world works.
I think that's obvious.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. So she shows up, like they say Emma's not here yet, and then you don't realize who Emma is yet. Like they haven't.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to. So finally, they just said, let's just start eating. And then Emma walks in and she has a moment where she's like, I want to be the person that I want to be. And she's like, Merry Christmas. And then immediately she's like, whoosh,
right.
And goes back to like, oh, you started without me. Meh. I'm a crybaby. So
it's like they started without you. You've been in a cop car all day.
You were arrested.
You haven't called anybody. Yeah. They started without you.
Yes. Yeah. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah.
And then she bitches about her getting sat at the kids' table. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
So then Alex Borenstein and Ed Helms kind of get into it because Ed Helms doesn't have a job. So they kind of agreed that they were going to buy bikes and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
So she kind of gets on his case about it. They go to dinner. And
like, why would your soon-to-be ex-wife come to your family
dinner?
That
is so weird.
I don't get that. And everybody knows that they're getting divorced. Like, that's not a secret. They're not putting, like that. If there was a line
that's
that
like inviting your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. If there was a line that explained why that was going on,
there
like,
wasn't.
Okay. Because, I mean, I did get up to pee at one point. But
you did?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
I normally don't in movies, but this was so bad. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
yeah. They never explain why she's there. So then they kind of get into it at the dinner table. And then the 8-year-old flings potatoes at him. And it's like,
says, stop,
no, stop, stop yelling. Everybody's fighting. And then the power goes out.
Yeah.
Randomly.
For no reason, just because it would be funny.
I guess.
If the power were to go out.
Power comes back on. Alan Arkin is face first in his potatoes.
Yeah.
So wait, are you telling me that this family's going to rally around their dying grandfather? And everybody's going to realize that they're okay and we're okay and we love each other?
Yes.
Yes. That's what I'm telling you. So they get to the hospital and everybody's there. And then kind of it is obvious. This was a part where I was like, oh, that sucks. Where like the doctor in question, and it's so it's so bold and so brazen of this doctor, where like Olivia Wilde is standing there and they're talking and he looks at her and he kind of like takes her hair and pushes it behind her ear.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Wow, you're just putting it on Front Street, aren't you? Because we all know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, and then Diane Keaton and Olivia Wilde have a fight where she's like, I can't believe you're doing that. And she's like, you know, you don't know me. You don't, like, this is who I am. You can either accept it or you can't. I'm not here to seek your approval, blah, blah, blah. And then Alex Borenstein is gone? Because him and Amanda Seyfried start their little thing.
Yeah.
Which was super weird.
Right.
So, like, they're rushing. So Alan Arkin is on a gurney, and on one side is Ed Helms, on the other side is Amanda Seyfried, and they are racing down this hallway, and the doctor's like, all right, man, I got to do this. Like, you guys got to stay here. And, like, Amanda Seyfried takes off and, like, literally kisses him on the mouth.
Yeah.
And then walks back. Ed Helms, I think, had the same reaction that I had, where he was like, huh. All right.
Yeah.
This is weird. Very good.
Yeah, they never, they always play that, like,
I interpret as father and daughter.
Yeah.
Until then.
Right. No, I mean, like, I always interpret it as a little weird, but I was given it the benefit of the doubt, but they just kept going down the Alan Arkin wants to nail her.
Yes, they did.
And I mean, it's Amanda Seyfried. I get it.
She's no Olivia Wilde.
But, you know.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
Yeah. We all have our different types.
We do. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But it was just weird. And then they go down the road where, you know, Ed Helms, they don't really fully go to, but they basically imply that Ed Helms is probably going to end up with her.
Well, they also reference it in a completely random, like, he took her picture.
Yeah.
Like a family photo.
And had never forgot
And never forgot that face. And of course, oh, guess what?
Yeah.
Grandpa brought the chick to dinner.
Yeah. But it's just like, so it's like you're going to marry the girl or end up with the girl that your dad wants to bone.
Yeah.
That's a little.
It's not a little. It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And again, the age difference. I mean, it happens, but Ed Helms is probably, what, early 40s?
Sure.
And Amanda Seyfried is, I'm assuming, supposed to be like 22 or 23, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Oh, that was, I guess we should, we don't really have to, but I'm going to do it anyway. She slit her wrists.
Oh, yeah, we see that she was, because just to,
she has
just
giant scars on her wrists.
Yeah, at least she did it the right way, though. Like, a lot of times they go side to side, but you want to go up and down if you're going
to
do it.
Go to the morgue, go to the hospital.
Right.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
So now all of the, like, all of the tension and everything that has been building, quote unquote, building, it comes to a head in the hospital.
Right.
So Diane Keaton kind of falls back in love with John Goodman, I guess because she realizes that life's too short. And I love this guy, so we're going to go to Africa.
You would think if life was too short, you'd be like, get me out of this loveless marriage.
Right.
Perhaps that's projection on my part.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You have more experience than I do.
Yeah.
I'm
glad I have more experience in a loveless marriage than you do.
You do.
I would wish it on no one.
Thank you.
But I'm just like, why would, like, what?
Like, out of nowhere. Like, the entire movie, she was adamant. Like,
and then as soon as she says, I'll go to Africa with you.
He's like, yeah.
He was like, yeah, we don't really have to go to Africa.
He agreed to it. And he's like, oh, but then they're like, oh, you know, Andy from The Office just lost his job. And she's like, oh, come on.
Like, why does that mean you can't go on a trip?
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big boy. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. Like, he's like, he'll find a new job.
Right. And this is where she leaves. Because she's like, the guy at the school, there's an opening for a photographer at the school.
She offers him a job. Like, because schools have their own photographers
on
staff.
Yes.
Like, it's not a company that comes in and goes from school to school. Each school has its own photographer
who just sits back and waits.
Who does nothing except one week a year take pictures of the kids.
It's 100 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
What?
So she, and then there was another, like, that was the line where she was like, I have to go meet my boyfriend's family. And I was like, hey, like, no need to kick his grandfather just got put in the hospital. I need to kick him while he's down.
But the way she said it so casually, I took it as like, this was established. Like,
you
know, because they know they're getting divorced. Like,
right.
I took it as like, it was very matter of fact.
Yes, it was.
Know?
Yeah. So, you know, everybody is kind of, there's all these different, all of our stories are converging. Everybody is arguing. There's another scene where the doctor kind of puts his hand on the small of Olivia Wilde's back, just in a super creepy manner.
I think you're a little jealous.
Can you blame me?
No.
But it was super creepy. Like, he's in front of the family. That's really what it, like, we all know that this guy's married.
Yeah.
And he's doing it right in front of the family. So then Joe's like, oh, come on, like, this is the married guy.
Right.
So they get into it again.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? That's it. Like, I am done. And he goes and like the doctor kind of walks away with Olivia Wilde and they're going to go bone in a closet. He's like, you want to see what I got you for Christmas? And she's like, okay. And I was like, I've seen this porn. It doesn't. I mean, so like he walks in and she slams the door on him. And then she goes racing back. And I like this is another scene where she's just running through stuff.
She's running through stuff for the sheer purpose of running through it.
And I was
she like runs through somebody carrying balloons and then she gets tangled up in twine.
Right.
And then there's someone carrying through the hallway a sheet of plate glass for her to run through.
Just crashes through it.
Yeah. And then she like, you know, bursts through a wall and offers people's Kool-Aid. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like she just keeps. Like
that was weird.
It went on and it on. Did. Like it was almost like a Zucker Brothers movie. Like
yes.
It was like
I kept thinking I was like, are you trying to tell me that she's a complete wreck, and she just kind of wrecks everything she touches, or am I just thinking too deeply? And yeah, I thought of the latter.
Yeah, it was just really weird. Like it kept going on.
Right,
like,
right.
Her like tripping and falling over stuff. It was very, very
it was
weird.
Very strange.
Very, very weird.
So she gets to the elevator as the elevator doors are closing, and he was like. That was good. And you hear a voice from behind where he's like, that was good. You should have seen the look on your face.
Yeah.
And the dude came back again.
Yeah.
For the 19th time. And finally, she was just kind of like, you know, this is going to be a thing. Diane Keaton and John Goodman are going to be a thing. And then there's Ed Helms and Amanda Seyfried, and they're sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And they have a moment. And she even says, you have his eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, creepy. Creep, like,
yeah,
you are creepy. This is
yes.
not okay. And then everything kind of, everybody's back together. Everybody's happy. They do a little dance number.
Yeah, they all have to dance in the hallway just
correct.
To show that they're happy.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
That's, yeah.
Right. And then they sit down for Christmas. Or I guess it's Thanksgiving. The remnants of Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner.
It's Christmas dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. In the hospital. Alan Arkin comes out and for his love of green jello, which they reference.
Yeah.
And then he says something to the Haitian orderly, which I thought was a funny line. And I don't remember what he said because it wasn't important.
Yeah.
And then we flash back to the house.
Right.
And the dog is just eating everything in sight.
Right. And then we get our last twist.
Spoiler.
The narrator of the film
is the dog.
Is the dog.
The entire time.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. Voiced by Steve Martin.
Voiced by Steve Martin.
Yeah. And that's kind of where we leave it. And it is... We talked on our last episode where this week, like, people were just kind of like, oh, we need to put a movie out.
Yeah.
This will work.
Yeah.
Like, it'll get swallowed up by... Spectre, we won't have to worry about it, and then that's kind of
it's
exactly
a tax write off.
Yeah, right.
That's the only thing I can figure.
And I just have to think like we've got some big, big movies on the horizon.
Yes.
Obviously Star Wars. I think the Seth Rogen flick is gonna do fairly well. I think
Hunger Games. That's next week.
So I have to believe that they're just like, nope.
Yeah.
We're just gonna
not everything can make money, people.
Yeah, right.
Well, did you see that Universal Studios has been pulling movies out of theaters that are underperforming?
No.
Like, that, not letting them finish their run. They did it to Jim and the Holograms, and they did it to the Steve Jobs movie.
The one that we reviewed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
They pulled it out. Like, they didn't let it finish its run. And because they've had such a good year that they don't want to have their numbers, their overall average drop. And so they're like, you know, Jim and the Holograms was down to, like, it made, like, $1 million in its third week. And they're
right.
like, just yank it. And
well, I guess that's, I mean, so if you yank it like that, is there any compensation to the theater? Like, is the theater?
I think the theater probably doesn't care because it's not making any money. Like they're running, you know, like the per screen average for Jim and the Holograms was $160.
Okay.
So they're,
that's high.
So, yeah. So they're like, you know, yeah. So I think most of the theaters are like, yeah, get it out of here. They
okay.
They don't care.
I just wonder, like, I don't understand how this, I don't know how this works. So like when Star Wars, or not Star Wars, let's go something a little bit smaller. I don't know. Something else.
Yeah.
Are they guaranteed, like, we want this in your theater for X amount of days? Like, is a theater guaranteed, like, 2 months?
I honestly don't know. And I think the theaters aren't going to push back because the movies are tanking. I think if they were coming in week two and saying, we're pulling Spectre, the theaters would be like, the hell you are.
Right, right.
We're going to have a fight. But I think these movies are doing so poorly. They're like, whatever.
Yeah, man.
We can add a Spectre screening or whatever. Like,
okay.
they don't care.
Interesting.
You know? But yeah, I just thought that was interesting. So.
If I were a theater, and I would be like, I guess if this is a thing, if your movie doesn't make X amount of dollars in week two, by week two,
yeah,
we're done.
But you don't have the leverage.
That's true.
You know,
that's
you don't have point. The leverage to issue edicts like that. Then they'll say, okay, well, then you don't get Star Wars.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Wait a minute.
And that's how that would work. And you'd be like, okay.
Well, then,
I guess I will be screening my Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Two.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So... But that's a movie theaters made a lot of money off of the first one because it was,
did.
And that movie was stayed in theaters for so long that they kept making it, you know, like they were getting the lion's share of the income by the end
by
of
the end.
Studio.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway, so that's Love the Coopers.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Hopefully Olivia Wilde gets that job as Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hopefully next week we have more people here.
Maybe. We'll see.
So I guess we'll go around the table.
And by around, you mean across.
Across. And Joe can tell you where to find him.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T. TTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Or you can continue the conversation online with all of us at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Follow us on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Email us at realspoilers@reviewstl.com. I think that's all of them. You can go to iTunes. You can rate and review us. That means a lot. Helps us a lot, as you've heard earlier in the show. So please, if you have a little time in your day, do that for us. It means a lot. And you can also share us. Join the League of Show Sharers at next time you're at Facebook or Twitter or whatnot, and share us.
Who's
and we will say your name on the show.
We will.
If you have your privacy settings set up appropriately. So next week is for sure The Hunger Games. That's the big movie. So that's what we will be tackling. There will be more people in here one way or the other. You might not have heard of any of them, but they will be in here. Damn it.
By George.
Yes. And so that is everything. And until next time, Clarence gets his wings.
Christmas today. I don't care what the neighbors say, Christmas time is near. I don't care what anyone says, Christmas is full of cheer. All I know is it's in a sleigh, it's making its way to the USA. I wish it was Christmas today, babe. I wish it was Christmas today. I wish it was Christmas today. Oh, I wish it was Christmas today. I wish it was Christmas today. Oh, all I know is the Santa Claus don't care about bringing no flying up. I wish it was. Christmas is almost here, and I don't care about newsman says Christmas is full of cheer. I don't care about anything except hearing those sleigh bells ring a ding ding. I wish it was Christmas today in the good old U.S. of A.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.